This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Outdoor Edge and their complete lineup of replaceable blade knives, fixed blade knives, and game processing kits. Now, we've all been there before, trying to field dress your wild game with a dull knife. This is where Outdoor Edge really steps in. With the Razor Safe system, you can have a brand new razor sharp blade with just the push of a button. No more dull blades and no more problems processing your wild game. To check out all of the products from Outdoor Edge, visit OutdoorEdge.com. And at checkout, enter the discount code NATION30. That's NATION30 for 30% off of your purchase.
The Houndsman XP podcast is fueled by Joy Dog Food. Joy Dog Food has a rich tradition of supporting the Houndsmen of America. Founded in 1945, Joy is proud of its history and the relationship it has built with the American Houndsmen. And in 76 years, there's never been a recall. Made with 100% American-made high-quality ingredients, Joy Dog Food has one of the highest calorie-dense formulas on the market. For 76 years, this made-in-America product has kept hunting dogs in the field day after day, season after season. And when we say made-in-America, Joy has a long track record of fighting for American freedoms by being on the front lines against the animal rights movement and their extremist tactics. Joy will fuel your hounds and fight for your freedoms, fueled by Joy. This is the Houndsman XP Podcast.
Good dog, get that bear. Get that bear in here.
The original podcast for the complete Houndsman. The podcast that represents our lifestyle of extreme performance.
Get up there!
Get up! Get up! Yeah, good boy!
Good boy, Ranger!
Uniting houndsmen across the globe, from east to west, north to south.
You know, if you're going to catch a cat or a lion, you know, you have to have teamwork.
We take you to the wildest places on earth.
Yeah, so how many days a week do you spend out there?
As much as I can, to be honest with you. Anytime that I get, I'm out there.
Join us for every heart-pounding adventure on Houndsman XP.
I'll tell you like I tell everyone else, I'm going to hunt whether you're here or not, so you might as well be here.
Briar Creek Kennels is your complete hound hunting outfitter. Boots, lights, collars, and tracking equipment. Dog boxes, kennel supplies, collars, clothes, squalors. Whew, they have it all. Briar Creek Kennel is a Garmin and Dogtra dealer. Owner Chris Girth will ensure Briar Creek Kennel customers will get top of the industry customer service. Whether you purchase from their website or you find them at a major coonhound event, Chris and his staff will share expert knowledge and experience about every product they offer. Chris Girth is a top competitor and breeder of hounds. He knows what gear you need to be successful. Look for Briar Creek Kennels on the web for a complete online store or look at their fully stocked trailer at any major coonhound event. Briar Creek Kennels, offering a hound hunting public generations of excellence.
I hear your ice again. Let's see if it... No, I think we're good.
We're good.
Yeah. That sounds like you're banging on a drum.
That is loud.
That is loud. All right. We are at, once again, if you can't tell by the... if you can't tell by the noise Jed is making, we are at Trader Inc. World Headquarters, a.k.a. Jed's house. And I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jed Finley himself. And this is The Truth on the Houndsman XP Podcast Network. Finley, how you doing?
We're doing good. How are you doing, Josh?
Not bad, actually.
You had a long week.
It was a long week on the road with Joy Dog Food, my first week.
Yeah, congratulations on the new job.
Thank you. I like it. It was fun. It was great. Me and Chip, we drove around. We got to visit all them small town feed stores that Joy does a good job promoting and providing for. And I mean, it was actually really unique. Got to meet a lot of cool people. I really did.
That's always a good thing.
It's technically a dream job. You drive around, you go into small towns, and you talk about dogs.
Well, you can't beat that.
No, that's kind of what I thought. So first of all, since me and Zane recorded, let me run this by you. Chris was thinking about, because I told him, I said, we need to find a name for this segment that we do every month.
Yeah.
Which this is actually going to be 2 weeks in a row because you weren't here to defend yourself last week. But Chris thought about calling it Circle Points, as in you circle back, talk about the points from the last 3 weeks.
I like it.
I do too. I thought it was pretty good. This is me and Jed. Come on, yep. Jed. This is me and Jed giving Chris a hand. And yeah, I think that'll work.
I absolutely think
Circle Points. So this will be like Circle Points 0.01 point something because yep. This is the second one we've done because you weren't here last week. But anyway, how was your mule deer hunt? Your like 230th mule deer hunt in a row without killing a mule deer.
I'm telling you, man, they're my nemesis. I mean, I've traveled from north to south. I mean, hunted different countries going up to Canada. I've hunted five different states mule deer hunting, and I still haven't killed one. But in my defense...
Did you see, what was the biggest one you've seen out there this week?
I don't know. I would probably... I can't tell you for sure. I got a glimpse of a good one, but he just wasn't quite what I was looking for. I am looking for that one that is nice and big-framed, and a non-typical.
Well, at least you're not picky or anything.
No.
For crying out loud, Finley. What if a 185-inch typical came out?
I would look at it and wave. I would not shoot it.
Everybody's got it. You would shoot a 185-inch typical mule deer. You would.
I tell you what, I wish we could go out back and see one.
I do too, because I'd shoot it if you wouldn't.
No, everybody has one of those on its wall, so.
Not everybody has a 190-inch mule deer on their wall, Jed.
Well, I'm saying a typical mule deer. Most people that have a 100 mule deer have a typical one.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of non-typicals that get killed every year, too, Jed.
Right.
You can go right down here to the Cabela's in Kansas City, and they got a whole room full of them.
I might have to go buy one off of them.
So no mule deer.
Nope.
You didn't kill nothing. But you didn't get to give your world hunt recap. Me and Zane gave ours, which wasn't a lot to recap because we didn't win a cast. But you did pretty well with scent, so tell us about it.
Well, it started off rough. Oh. I mean, it was a rough week. I mean, first night, she didn't look real good. Second night, we got a little bit better. Third night, we get beat on a tiebreaker. Well, when I got beat on the tiebreaker, I thought, boy, my world hunt, my streak has just come to an end.
When's the last time that you didn't get a dog in and be able to hunt on Friday night at the world hunt?
I'm not for sure, but I'm pretty sure every year in Salem, I have hunted Friday night.
And when did they move that thing to Salem from Aurora? 2004?
No, it was like eight or nine.
Was it that late?
Yeah, because 06, I hunted Whitey in Aurora.
Hmm.
So
I thought it was like 04, 05 or something like that,
mm-mm.
Which I never did. The only time I went down to the tennis center was at the CHKC World.
Yep.
I never did, and my experience wasn't the greatest.
No, you didn't last long.
No, I threw a baby fit.
You did. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Because I come back and you were gone.
Well.
You were off like a prom dress.
I was mad. And I haven't been in a ton of casts. And I haven't. And that was the only time I've got cheated. And probably, how many casts? I mean, when I really started hunting PKC was when I started hanging out with you back a decade ago.
Yeah.
And so I've probably been in Surely 150 casts in PKC, maybe.
I would say.
Yeah, so in 150 casts, I've been cheated once. Over money. That thing is loud.
That is loud.
And I've been cheated once, and that was it.
Yep.
And that was an all-out cheating.
And you were thrashing them.
Yeah, I was up like 600. I was up 600 plus with 14 minutes to go. I was at, or 675 or something. I was like 475 plus, and the closest dog to me was 200 in the hole.
And they scratched you.
And they scratched me because when I turned Dollar loose, they said I kicked him. And it's 3-1 vote. And I went back.
I'd definitely kick my dog if I was up 475.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what you do. Yeah. With, and the 15 can't even catch you. Yeah. I think it was 15 in CHKC, wasn't it?
I don't know. 10, I think.
Well, either way.
I don't know. They're not around
anymore. They weren't going to catch. That's why they're not around anymore, because they let the freaking inmates run the asylum. That's why they're not around anymore. Because they had a bunch of crooks running the freaking place, and nobody trusted them, and they quit going to their hunts.
Yeah.
That's one thing I give credit to PKC for. Because even though we have some arguments and some discussions and stuff, the Professional Kennel Club is ran by professionals, and professionals participate in it, and you're not going to get cheated unless you're just, you don't know what you're doing.
Well, we try to be professionals.
Yes.
Let's take it to that point.
We are as professional as you can get in that sport.
Correct.
I would say, especially the Pro Classics.
Yes.
What about your cast during the World Hunt? Did you have good cast, good guys, no arguments?
I only had one cast where I think anything even was really got off to a bad, or, you know, a rough start. But other than that, we had all great casts clear through. Thursday night, got lucky enough to double up.
Mm-hmm.
Dog was starting to get tired. I mean, I am hunting a 7-year-old dog. And go out, you know, first thing on Friday night, and we got rain and wind, and I'm like, boy, this ain't good. Well, they end up treeing a couple slicks, which that time of year to tree a slick, you got to be pretty slick.
Yeah, it was leaves on. It was hard to tree. I don't think I treed a slick. Wait, I got minus on a tree, didn't I?
Probably for leaving.
Yeah, she did. She left one Monday night. I'm trying to think. I think I treed a slick. Or seen a slick. Anyway, go ahead. Finish your story.
But anyway, all I got to do is tree a coon, and we sit out there pert near the whole cast, and finally she comes treed, has a coon, move on late round. I, for somehow, some way in this world, go out in late round and draw Brent.
Oh, that's right.
And we don't like drawing each other because we're good buddies, mm-hmm. and I'm a big fan of Knot, always have been.
That's a good coon dog.
Yes, he is. And so we go out there, and he strikes for 100 and gets treed for 100. And I'm struck for 50, and I'm dancing a jig because I struck for 50.
Knot's usually not a great strike dog.
No.
I mean, he's a better than ours, but not like he don't babble or nothing.
Yeah. So he struck, you know, he got in there, got struck and treated for 100, and I thought, well, he just shoved it straight in us and broke it off, and we're done for tonight. Well, we get in there, and he's on a den, and I'm split about, probably 200 yards away, and I got the coon, you know, and so I'm in the driver's seat. We go to Jack, and he has a coon. So he's at 75 and 100. We come off Jack's tree and Scent's treed again already. So I tree her and go over there and I tie her up, and it's an oak tree. I'm thinking, man, we looking good. Well, by this time, Knot was treed, so they went to Knot first. Well, Jack come in and cover him. All I got to do is have a coon here. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, the judge circles this tree. I know she missed it. I mean, I ain't going to lie. It was slicker than shit. But we get over there. Then we get leash locked, so we have to walk.
That's over with now.
0.8 miles, I think, to this dog. Well, we got to go across these corn rows, and we got to walk across them. Everybody was, let's walk around this cornfield. I said, just follow me. So everybody gets in line, and we get across there, and find that boy's coon, and we cut loose from there, and my dog was completely out of gas, and Josh is being loud, and so it's just one of them deals. We
tell him what I'm doing, Finley.
Josh is grabbing him a beer.
Okay,
But all right, I'm back. So I got beat by a quarter that night, and we come home with her tail tucked between her legs.
But that was after you doubled up.
Yes.
That was on Friday in the late round.
Yep. I've made it there the last 3 years in a row, and it has been just one of those things. I just can't get through that last cast.
Last year, we tag team got there with Rain.
Yep.
The year before that, you got there with Shock. Yep. And we lost with Rain in the quarterfinals, didn't we? Or the
late round Friday. On Friday night.
No, I lost early Friday night.
No, I hunted Friday night because that's when I took the cat panel back.
That was last year, 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yes.
I lost early with you her Friday night. You went on with Shock.
And then I got beat late.
Yeah. Because that was a cast where I threw a fit about the leash lock.
Yes.
Because she spent 45, she treed two coons and spent 45 minutes on the leash.
Yes. And she was looking sharp.
And she was looking very sharp. That was when she barked.
A lot.
She was 200 out of the pickup.
That don't happen very often.
No, I struck her for 200 because remember she was doing that squeal.
Yeah.
She would squeal on the ground and she still does that, but it ain't very often.
No.
It's because she's got to be looking at it before she does it.
Yeah. But no, we had it was a good run. A little disappointing to only get one dog in, but we had a good run. Hunted some young dogs down there too also. So Sammy was behind Oh Hell Bitch and she first time being really traveled and she looked good. She won her cast the first night and then after that she just
didn't she win two earlies or just one early?
Just one early.
Just one early.
Yeah. But going back to this world hunt, my biggest question is what did it feel like to get beat by Airplane?
It wasn't great, but here's the thing. Not only did I get beat by Airplane, I also got beat by Fever and the English dog that I have no idea what its name was. I can't remember. But they all treed more coons than Rain did. So it wasn't just Airplane that beat me. Yeah. In my defense, everything beat me.
I just thought I better check on that. Yeah. Because, I remember at draw out time and we seen this.
Uh-huh.
And I screenshot it and sent it to you. And you're like, oh boy, I drew Airplane.
Uh-huh.
And then you go up to a place where I figured, and you guys been, the first night you went up there, I think you treated like 5, 6, 7 coons or something like that. Yeah. And you're going right back to the same spot. And
the first night we was up there with the dog that got second in the World Championship that year.
Yeah.
Because Weed was hunting Marv.
Yep.
That's the dog he got second with.
Right.
And he didn't look very good up there.
Yeah.
And we both got beat.
Yep.
So I don't know. I gave a shout out to Kevin Primer, great guide.
Yeah.
Put us in coons both nights. Rain looked like crap both nights, which is normally where she excels.
Yeah.
Normally where she just, you can tree them as you come to them, but she caught that coon out in the corn, and she fought it, and she fought it, and she fought it, and she fought it, all while everything was treeing coons. And that was it. That done me.
Hey, at least you didn't have no dogs go back her.
Mm-mm. Nope, nothing went in there and covered her. Yeah, she didn't leave anything. So, yeah, I mean, we were making baby steps.
Yeah.
She looked pretty good on, that was Wednesday, right?
No, that was
Wednesday. Wednesday night. What did I do on Thursday? I lost.
You got beat.
But I can't remember what she did. Oh, that was when she treed that coon with Croson in there.
Yep.
She had that coon in the den. We couldn't plus it because it just looked like a black spot. See it through the thermal. Couldn't see it through the, that was bad luck.
But so, anyway, yeah. We had a good, I mean, all in all, we had a decent world hunt.
So what else has been going on, Jed?
Nothing. Now we got to look forward to a lot of big hunts coming up, this winter. And
that is one thing we wanted to mention, is it's going to be an action-packed winter.
Yeah, and it all starts the first week of December here in Missouri at La Plata for the Bear Creek Shootout.
And there is, last time I checked, I think there was like 8 entries left.
No, it's full.
Is it full?
It is full.
That is going to be, and we haven't, you've been mule deer hunting.
And now it's rifle season here.
Now
in Missouri.
It's deer season.
So I ain't hunting.
I've started my new job, so I couldn't hunt last week.
Yeah.
I was traveling all week last week. And we were going to bring, I remember when we left the world hunt, we had an entry for Buffalo.
And still
we
got
were gonna,
it.
We were going to go to Quapaw.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't got that sold yet?
No, but if anybody out there listening wants to go, hit me up. Because
it is over Thanksgiving.
It's over Thanksgiving. Yeah. So I'm guessing if you hear this Thanksgiving morning.
Well, this one here is going to air Thursday.
We're good.
Yeah, we're recording this
we'll
on
give you
Saturday.
A week heads
it's going to air
up.
On Thursday.
Week's heads up. But anyway, no, I got Jason Klom. He's stepping up to plate for me. And
my man.
He's going to hunt the entry for me
there
if I can't
go.
Make it.
Is he hunting old Rex?
He's going to hunt old Rex. Oh, you know, the sad part is I got to pay the dang entry for him to hunt him.
Well.
But I can tell you one thing. Old Rex pulls through. Cheers to that.
We're just going to tell Klom right now that if we don't want him doing like he did at the Black IP.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Like, if he can win the cast and maybe lie just a little bit, not a lot. I mean, don't go out there and be blatant. But just don't tell the complete truth if it's just a little white lie.
Yeah. We like them half truth.
But no, and you guys, we talked about that on this podcast, didn't we? The very first one.
Yep.
That was when Klom, his dog moved. The judge didn't know it. And it was a non-hunting judge. And the only person that knew it really was Klom. I guess Klom didn't even know. That's
Moody and Eddie Simmons.
Yeah. Moody and Mr. Eddie said, hey, that dog moved. And Klom said, well, if it moved, it moved. And that was like an $18,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we want.
I'm hoping he's not that honest with my money.
That's always my knock. That's always Jed's knock when I'm hunting.
Yeah, that's right.
I won't ever do nothing like that either. But even I, you know, because I've always said, don't cheat. Don't blatantly cheat. Don't do nothing like that. But it's the non-hunting judge's responsibility. Don't minus yourself. I always say that. Now, as a non-hunting judge, when I am a non-hunting judge and people minus themselves, I love it.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're my hero.
Yes. Oh, then I ask them, is that dog moving? And they'll say, yeah, that dog's moving. Go ahead and minus him. Great. Perfect. Very sportsmanlike, and I love it. But, but, new handlers, if you're listening to this, don't do that.
No.
No. It is the judge. I can hear them dogs move. I know what happened. Now, don't argue with the judge when he throws a fit. Don't throw a fit. Make sure and take your minus. But if you're a new handler, it's the judge's responsibility to do that stuff.
Absolutely.
And so I don't minus. I've never minus my own dog. Only time I've minus my own dog is if they've moved at least a half mile. That's my rule of thumb.
I've minused them on trees before.
Yeah, but that's because you knew you were going to eat it anyway.
Yeah.
You knew. Yeah, but you knew. That's the only time I do it, too. I know I'm going to eat it, so I just go ahead and do it. But, yeah, that's if there's any new handler tips, that's one of them. Don't minus your own dog. Because I'll tell a story on me. Just down at Sean's at the woodshed. Rain left a tree, the first tree of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And she left it, and I mean made a big circle. Now, Jock had come in there and treed with her, and Rain had shut up, but Yant had treed Jock, so the two couldn't catch me. And I bet you Rain got, Mike Kinsley was judging, and this is all on the dog trail, because Rain never said a word during all this. Now, she shut up, but she left that tree and went a good 200 yards out away from that tree and made a big circle and came back in there to it and started treeing again. And I'm setting a quarter and a hundred on this tree. She treed the coon, but Jock come in there not long, maybe 45 seconds after her, 30, 45 seconds after her. And when he got there, she peeled out, made a big circle, came back. I never said a word. I never said, go ahead and minus Rain. She's left. I never said any of that.
Yeah.
I kept my mouth shut. Rain comes back in there, gets treed. That's it.
And then you went on to win the cast.
I did go on to win the cast and got second. And when we hunted it off, and what'd that pay? $3,500 or something like that. And if she'd have took that minus, she wouldn't have won that cast.
That's right.
So, did I cheat? No. And Hensley didn't do anything wrong. Yant didn't do anything wrong. Nobody did anything wrong. But it's the non-hunting judge's responsibility to do all that.
Yep.
And the dog never really gave anybody any reason. If I wasn't looking at my Garmin, I never would have known. Because Rain chews.
Yep.
She shuts up all the time. If I wasn't looking at my tracker, I never would have known she left that tree anyway.
Yep.
But I did. So anyway, that's my advice to new handlers. Don't minus your own dog. You never know. Unless you really, 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 really know. Then you can minus them.
But otherwise, no, it's just going to be a busy, busy fall, rest of the fall and winter. And we go from that, and then we'll be heading down to Lone Star, and then we got the Black IP. And
if Jed, I want to know, I want to hear your history on the Lone Star, because 2004, 8, 12? When was the first time you went down there? 2004, wasn't it?
No, first time I ever went down there was 2002.
Okay.
Yep.
And you've been going down there every year since?
Yes.
So from 2002, this will be your 19th year?
Yes.
This will be your 22nd or 20th year.
Yeah.
This will be your...
I've been going as long as the Jouette Classic's been going on, so yeah. I don't know how long that's been, but yeah.
Tell us about that week, because I think that'll be the last open event that goes away.
Absolutely.
I think it will.
Yep.
I think they'll all go away eventually. I really do. But I bet you the Lone Star 5000 doesn't go in the Jouette Classic and the Lone Star together. I bet that doesn't go away for another 2 or 3 decades.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as good a hunt as there is.
The biggest thing that drew me to it, I think, was the hospitality you get when you go down there. The people are second to none. You got big places to hunt. Yeah, it can be thick, and people complain about yoponds and stuff, but, you know, that can be anywhere. You can get to a briar patch, you know, in Illinois.
Just look at the one me and Credence got into the other night, right behind the house.
Yeah.
Impenetrable.
So, it's just one of those deals that you can get in thick stuff anywhere, but Texas, why I like it, I mean, for one, it's usually colder and cold up here. So you get down there, you're in some good weather, and it's beautiful hunting. I mean, for the most part, it's really beautiful hunting. I mean, you got Junior, you got Flop, you got, I can't even name them all. Just a ton of guys that have these big, beautiful ranches that you can hunt and tree a lot of coons.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at, you know, you can go up to Michigan Madness and you got to hunt a little smaller areas, but you can pile up a score. Well, down there, you're scoring 500-600 to get in, but you're treeing 7, 8, 9 coons in that cast too. You know, so it's pretty compatible to anywhere across the country for coon population wise. Not only that, but I mean, I was fortunate enough to have Kevin guide me the first year I was down there, and he guided me 4 nights in a row. And
what are the odds of that, first of all?
Not very good.
Not very good, because they were packing 100 dogs in there every
night.
There's
150, 175 dogs every night when that first started. And we become friends, and, you know, I got blessed with having the camp to stay at, you know, and watching his kids grow up, and it's just been a blessing, you know, knowing those guys. And now we get into the hog hunting while we're down there, and, you know, we make it a week, and it's a lot of good times.
I'm going to brag on Kevin, too, because... for some reason.
Now, that was not my phone. That was Josh's phone.
First time ever. But anyway, back to Kevin. What was it, 2015? First year I went down there?
Yep.
And so I go down there in 2015. Now, keep in mind, Jed is my best friend in the world. But... not the most likable guy on the planet.
No.
And so I'm what, the 10th guy you've drugged down there to help you drive?
At least.
And Kevin, knowing this, Kevin just took me under his wing like I was his best friend too, even though that he'd had 9 other of those in the 10 years prior, knowing that Jed runs them off and they won't come back the next year. I've stayed with different people at camp every year since we've been down there.
I think, yeah.
Every year. I think Ty made it 2 years, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Ty made
it. Yeah, Ty made it a couple of years. But, I mean, we had Brent down there last year, and Brent just about ran me out of camp. I love Brent, but for completely different reasons than you'd think. And the year before that was somebody else, and the year before that was somebody. I can't remember. And so, but anyway, kudos to Kevin. Kevin, if you're listening to this, thank you for dealing with all these people that Jed run off and then still being nice to me. This is 6 years in a row I've been down there. And thanks for, I'm just going to just give a big shout out to Kevin. Still welcome me on the place.
Hey, he's a great dude. Kevin actually mentioned after we left that 1 year, he's like, you know, Josh, he can come back.
Yeah, he told me that. He said, everyone always comes down here for a year. He goes, I thought it was me running them off for a while. He goes, then I realized it was Jed.
But, no, I mean, the places went from a dirt floor I mean, when I first started staying down there, there's a dirt floor. I mean, it wasn't much, and Kevin has fixed it up. And
he's done a lot of work that
now
place.
We got, last year we got our kennels down there now. So
Ryan brought them kennels down. What are they, a three dog run? Beautiful kennels.
Yep.
And they're just like what I have now. After we got those down there at camp, I ordered two double runs off Ryan, you know, and that's what I have now. My dog's in just wonderful kennels. It's a great setup.
Yeah.
We even got TV now.
Yeah, we got TV.
We got Dish Network.
I mean,
we're going to have to plow
a drop.
Michaela's Construction's going to have to put some fiber out there.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of out in the middle of boonies and the internet's a little sketchy sometimes. But other than that, it's a great place to stay.
Yeah.
But like you said, the Lone Star 5000 is unique.
Yes.
There are a lot of open events. And there's a lot of open events that you just name them. You think of the Bear Creek Classic, you think of Michigan Madness, you think of. You know, there's some others. Bear Creek, the one at Greensburg during Autumn Oaks. Labor Day Classic.
Labor Day Classic, yeah.
You know, those are, which it ain't even an open event anymore.
No,
they switched that two years ago to Legacy.
Yep.
And so with the Legacy Hunts and the Pro Classics and things like that, these week-long open events where you go down there and you pay $50 and you get a hunt with some of the greats.
Because everybody's there usually.
Everybody still goes to the Lone Star. I'm talking guys from Michigan and Ohio.
But that goes to tell you
how
good of a place it is.
It's got nothing to do with the entry. It's got nothing to do with the money that you can win. It's got nothing to do with any of that. Yep. That's the only open event we'll go to all year.
That was the original place for the Pro Classic, too.
Yes.
Which was the...
It was $1,000.
Yeah, it was $1,000, and everybody thought, man, this is crazy. These guys are parading these dogs in and spending $1,000 to hunt these dogs. And I'm telling you, since then, it's just went woof.
I encourage everybody to go experience that.
Absolutely.
Because they have huge steak dinner.
Oh.
And great steak. Not just like, oh, we're going to throw in a bunch of Walmart sirloins in there. These are freaking good steaks.
Yeah.
They have a huge steak dinner. They auction the dogs off for the Pro Classic.
Auction. There's the FFA actually puts on the steak dinners down there at Iola, and then up at the Jewett Hunt, the Cowboy Church does it.
Yes.
So they do briskets, they auction off briskets, cakes, you name it, and they auction all that stuff off. It all goes to a good cause. It's a family, more of a family oriented hunt too, because the community really comes out and supports
this. This is the only time that I see guys like me and you and the Ryan Crosons and the guys like that travel around and hunt for money, that go to an event just because of the atmosphere.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the only event that we go to just because of pure atmosphere. And kudos to them guys down there, because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to it every year. I mean, I know the years that I can't go, I'm just sick to my stomach about not being able to go down there, because that is the most fun you can have at a coon hunt.
Absolutely.
I really do believe that. The World Hunt's fun because everybody's there.
Yep.
But you're not staying at a camp. You're not doing the stuff. You're really worried about winning.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of pressure at the World Hunt. We're at the Lone Star, you know, you lose $50. It ain't that big a deal. You win a cash, you get your money back. You don't get in the final four. We make more money in the camp pot than we do actually winning. If we got in and won it off, hunted it off and won, you know.
I think Kevin's won the camp pot about every year.
Yeah, I think he does. We just leave the camp pot for Kevin. He deserves it. He put up with Jed for 20 years. He deserves more than that.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
But yeah, we get a hog hunt during the day. We get a, you know, it's a great hunt. And I can't brag on it enough. And I can't brag on the area enough.
Yeah.
Because you look at the Lone Star Shootout.
Yep.
We were at the Black Eyed Pea.
Yep.
We went down to hunt. We stayed.
Oh, yeah, Vans.
Yep. Yeah, we stayed at Kevin's.
Yep.
Two or three days, and then went up to Vans to the Black Eyed Pea. And Jed was telling me about this Lone Star Shootout thing he had going on and whether it would fill and all this stuff. And I'm like, Jed, that ain't going to fill. I said, you're crazy. I said, there aren't 64 people that'll pay $2,500 or $5,000 entry.
No.
No, $2,500. I said, there aren't 64 people that'll pay $2,500 for an entry fee. Filled in a week.
Mm-hmm.
It was full. It was in generally the same area. I guided at Kevin's every night.
Yeah, it was in Buffalo. So, I mean, we're only 20 minutes from Jewett.
Yep. So. Where the world, I mean, we're right by where the world champion from PKC come from this year.
Hey, we were right there.
Yes. And, you know, it's just, I can't express how much someone really needs to go down there.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody needs to experience
it. At least once. So if you're in Canada and you're a coon hunter, it's worth the trip.
And you got your vaccine.
Yes, that's right. You can cross the border, if not, just sneak across.
Yeah.
But
they let them in for free.
Yeah, but only on the south side. The northerners can't come in.
I don't think the northerns have tried.
No, they probably don't. But yeah, it's just, that is the noisiest cup on the planet.
I wish they'd bring some of that that's in that cup down here from Canada.
Though you're drinking the Canadian whiskey, aren't you? But anyway, go down to the Lone Star 5000.
Yep.
There's nothing like it. It'll be the last standing open event. It will be a glimpse into the past.
Yep.
I've hunted against, I remember the first year I went down there with Duds was like a two-year-old. Well, that'd have been 10 years. It's 6, 7, 8, 9 years. I don't know how long ago. It was a long time ago. And I got to hunt against, well, Joe Manning was on the cast, the world champion now,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so Chris Collins, I think, was in. I've drawn all kinds of them Texas guys down there that are winning, have won big or been around for a while. You know, you get, for $50, you can go out and you can draw me, you can draw Jed Finley, you can draw a world champion, you can draw a guy Manning, which is
legendary,
awesome, a legend in the sport.
Yep.
Who, I haven't asked Guy yet, but Guy's going to let me, I'm going to get him on the podcast whether he likes it. I don't care if I have to sneak it in. Guy's getting on the podcast. But, man, I just can't brag on it enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gotten to where we're looking for retirement homes down there. Yeah. We're looking for farms to buy and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic part of the world. I wouldn't want to be down there in July.
Nope. July, August, September.
No.
Keep me out.
But, man, for 2 or 3 months a year, that is the best place in the world. Yeah, East Texas.
January to February, I mean, I'm down there a lot in those two months, and I just, every time I leave, I want to be right back.
Yep. Great. And then after that, we have, are we doing another Lone Star shootout down there?
I have still yet to get a hold of Cole to find out for sure.
Okay.
But we are, I know the game plan was to, but I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll have to verify that at a later date then.
But we'll have the Black IP, and then if we get through and have the Lone Star Shootout, we'll have that in February.
The Black IP was the first $6,500 entry the PKC sanctioned.
Yep.
And the breakfast burritos alone are worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
Them gals that cook down there do the best job.
They do a fantastic job.
And so South Texas, love it.
It's actually or
not East Texas. I don't love South Texas. I don't know why I said South Texas. I freaking hate South Texas. I'd done a job down there. It was miserable. But anyway, East Texas is great. Leon County, around Buffalo, Iola, Jewett, all that country is just wonderful people. And then we go into the Bear Creek pretty much.
Yeah, Nationals, Bear Creek. Yeah. I mean, it's any more, in my opinion, there's getting to be a few too many hunts.
Tell me about it, Finley. I feel like you're looking at me like you got that serious face and you want to express yourself. Go ahead.
I just feel that there's getting to be too many hunts, and I think what we're going to end up doing is running ourselves out of our own hunts, because the normal person can't travel to a $2,500 entry fee every weekend like it has been. And last year, we kind of seen a little glimpse of it where they were getting harder to fill and stuff like that, and a lot more were getting canceled. I just have a feeling that down the road, that is the same place we're going to be, because when why drive 5-6 hours to a hunt when you can go to one next weekend 2 hours from your house? Well, and that's what it's becoming.
What have we skipped since the World Hunt?
A lot.
Everything.
Yeah.
And the only reason we're going to La Plata, it's because it's 45 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When that in that form, if that format was somewhere else, we'd probably be there.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I come up with it.
Yeah. And so, credit to Jed for that format. I hate, and normally everyone's like, man, Jed had a good idea. I'm like, yeah, that was my idea. I'm the one who did that. But I can't even take credit for this one. That was all Finley. He never even ran it by me.
Nope.
No, you just did it.
I did it.
Yeah, anyway.
I liked the sounds of it, so I did it.
So, yeah, too many hunts. Yep. But and here's the thing I think about having too many coon hunts is, especially on the level of, say, $1,000 entry or better, which I think the $1,000 is the new $300.
Oh, absolutely it is.
Because I remember when paying $300 for an entry was a huge deal. I still remember my first one, and I was scared to freaking death, and it wasn't even my entry. It was your entry.
Yeah.
The first time I hunted in a $300 or $250 or above entry was a pro hunt where I handled Bella when she was a baby. I mean, and Shine. And Shine's still alive, too.
Oh,
Shine's still alive. Bella's gone.
Well, just one
but
thing
it was the
about,
pro hunt. It was the pro hunt at La Plata.
Yeah, and it was hot.
Oh God, I about died. I'm in there in the middle of a cardiac event. I've got Ehrlichia so bad that it's affected my heart. I'm still on medication to this day because of it. And I'm hunting these dogs. I'm a nervous wreck. That may have been why I had a heart attack from it.
It might have been.
It was 137 degrees, I think.
Yeah.
In July. Yeah. But I still remember it, not because of that. But I was. Jed called me. I'm at work. Jed calls me. He says, hey, you had a family member pass, if I remember right, and you had to go to the funeral. You said, I've got two pro hunt entries. I got an early and late at La Plata. Will you hunt them? These were they 300 at the time or were they 250?
300.
They were 300. That was the year they switched.
Yep.
And I said, yes. And immediately when I hung up the phone, I was a nervous wreck. Because now I hunt with like a $6,500 of Jed's and I don't even worry, but... Back then, I'm like, I'm hunting Jed's money. I'm not doing anything. I haven't done anything to get these dogs ready. We'd pleasure hunted some, me and you together, but I'm working 60, 70 hours a week.
Yeah, and it is the middle of summer, so you were working a lot of
hours. I wasn't just coon hunting all the time, and I'm scared to death. I'm thinking, I've got to win. Got my ass kicked both casts, but...
And then he calls me. He goes, I got beat. And I said, well... Hey, appreciate you going.
Yeah. Jed
otherwise,
was
I was going to eat them.
Not only did Jed do that, but he had a real fancy motel and everything set up for me. I took the wife and kids. It was great. But I was a nervous wreck. I wanted to win, and I didn't. But that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And I think guys like me and you and these guys that are at these hunts quite a bit, we forget about that.
Oh, yeah.
How big of a deal that is to people that are just getting started out. But anyway, $1,000 is the new $300.
Well, I still remember the first time that I spent $1,000 on an entry down at the Lone Star.
You didn't have the money either.
I didn't have the money in my bank account. And I buy an entry down there because I done one a little bit, got in during the week, and so I bought this entry.
Was that with Whitey or was that with Hope?
No, that was with Trader.
Oh, that was with Trader. Okay.
Yeah. I was still broke when I got Trader. I spent everything I had on Trader. That wasn't much. But, I mean, and then I got him in, and, you know, that it's just one of them deals. I do remember when you had to win.
Yes, you had to win. And I've always told Jed that you can't, and I've said this before to a bunch of people, you can't go to a coon hunt and have to win.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, that's a bad policy.
I've done been through that. It ain't worth it.
No, because you'll do things you ain't proud of to get that money.
Yep.
And that's not a situation anybody wants to be in. It makes it miserable on people that, you know, now I'm hunting on your money, or even when I'm hunting on my money, I make sure that it is, I can afford it.
Yep.
That if I lose, it's no big deal.
Yep.
And then the cash is easier. Everything goes better. But we were talking about,
the 300 being the new 1,000.
Yes, and we were talking about too many hunts.
Yes.
And so when PKC first started these high entry fee hunts, it was the 6,500. There was no 2,500 Pro Classic.
No.
No 500. No, not. There was no Pro Classics, period.
I think there was like two, you could do a 200 or a 300.
I don't even know if they had that at that time. I think that came after.
It might have.
We'll have to double check with PKC to be sure, but I think that came after. There was Pro Hunts.
Yep.
And then their first Pro Classics, I believe, were 6,500.
Yeah.
And they had just had two.
Mm-hmm.
The first year they had the Black IP, the second year they had the Black IP, and then the one in Illinois.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Now there's four.
Now there's four.
But I don't even know how many $2,500 Pro Classics there are.
2,500, 5,000.
Yeah.
I mean,
anywhere from 300 up.
Yeah.
And there is one every weekend.
Yes.
And so it's gotten to where now there's, When's the last time we were at an open event?
I can't even. Lone Star.
Yeah, I think it'll be a year. Yeah. I don't remember. We don't hunt any local hunts. I mean, you do, but I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you try to support the local clubs. You go over to Glenn's. Mm-hmm. You have some at Mercer. You go to Eagleville. But I'm working, and especially now, I'm on the road for joy. I'm not going to hunt any. To be honest, I don't want to hunt any.
I got to take my junk somewhere to see if it could even win.
But I don't. I mean, you can go to a coon hunt every night.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to a pro classic every weekend. But as long as I agree with you, there's a lot of coon hunts, and they don't mean the same that they did 5 years ago.
Prime example.
Okay, let me hear it.
Prime example. All-time leader.
Yeah.
Z just took it over.
He did.
Him and Weed.
Yep.
My guess at the rate this is going,
mm-hmm.
the way these hunts are going, that all-time leaderboard, I'd say 200,000. If things keep going the way they're going, 200,000 won't even be in the top 20.
You think so?
Guaranteed. Right now, because they're talking about doing that $100,000 PKC hunt.
Yeah.
There's somebody wins it, that's $100,000 going on their dog. Okay, you're in the top 20.
Yep.
Say that dog is half as good as what it should be to win $100,000, because there are going to be some good dogs at that $100,000 mm-hmm. hunt. Say it's half as good as what it's supposed to be. So say it goes on and wins half its cast the rest of its life. And that's all they go to.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It is. And so, but when we're talking about the GOAT,
yep.
greatest dog of all time, I haven't hunted. Have you hunted with Z?
Yes.
I say I've not hunted with Z.
Yep.
And I have no doubt that Z is probably a really, really good dog. But, and I'm going to have to ask Dustin. And first of all, let's congratulate Weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Congratulations. Heck of an accomplishment. They've done great things with that dog.
Basically done it with two dogs.
Yes. Weed's got to be...
He's over $600,000-some yeah. in
lifetime. He's got to be the best dog handler ever. I hate to... I mean, I don't want to go there.
Hey, I'm going to say one thing.
What?
Weed wins.
Weed wins. And that's what it takes to be the best right. PKC handler of all time.
But if you go back to the glory days, let's say.
Oh, now you're getting old school.
Yeah, let's go back to the old school days. Right. But if you give Ronnie Bone, those yeah. guys, the opportunity to hunt for Ricky Hawkins, prime example.
Yeah.
How many times did he win the Russ Meyer hunt?
I don't remember. I know he won it 1 year when he was turkey hunting with me. And I don't know. I never kept track.
Al yeah. Noneman, another one.
Yeah.
I know Al Noneman won that 3 nights in a row with Inot.
Yeah.
But you take those people back and put these hunts in that situation.
That's true.
You never know. I mean, there's a lot of good dogs
but you also
that passed away before their time.
But you also got to look at what Weed did with Down before Absolutely. All this.
I'm not saying Weed ain't
yeah.
a great handler.
But Weed...
One of the best handlers ever has been in coon hunting. But there's a lot of guys that are out of it now.
That's true.
That never had the opportunity to win the money that Weed has now.
And I'm going to give another shout out to Dustin. Is I've drawn him a few times. I've judged him a few times. And he's always been great.
I've never had a problem with Weed.
Anybody that hunts in all these hunts, and Jed, you've experienced this. I have. I've had guys say that I did. And anybody that knows me knows that I cheated once. I did. I flat out cheated a guy once when I was about 20 years old. When Jane treed that cat and that grand night cast in a UKC hunt.
And you punched it out.
Yeah, I did. I'm gonna go ahead and tell the story. And so I'm at a UKC hunt. I'm probably 20 years old.
I don't know if I'd tell this. Alan might look back up records to take that off Jane's wins.
I didn't even win the cast. The guy ended up beating me.
Mm.
And so I'm hunting.
That's what you get for cheating.
Yes, I'm hunting for Tom Cooney at the time. I'm training young dogs for Tom Cooney. I'm not really going to any hunts. But he had a doggy called Satan that was out of coma. It was a pretty good coon dog. And I had him down there and I was hunting him. He wanted me to take him to some UKC hunts. He goes, I'll pay your entry, pay your gas, whatever. And so I go up to Troy, Iowa, club that's still going on. This would have been in 2000, 2001, somewhere around there, 20 years ago. And there was an old boy, and I can't remember his name. There's a guy that went up there, and if it was any kind of sectional or breed day or anything like that, he'd take his grand night, and nobody else would show up. And he'd hunt it by itself and take the trophy home. And the guy had pretty good coon dogs. He had dogs that would tree coons. He did. And Jeremy was up there, and Mark Ruddy, my brother Jeremy, Mark Ruddy was up there, and Ruddy had a female called G.I. Jane. You remember G.I. Jane? Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good coon dog. And I was hunting Satan in the open, and Jeremy goes, hey, handle Jane against this guy that hunts these grand night dogs by himself all the time and beat his brakes off, and we'll teach him a lesson. I said, all right. Now, I'm a young man. I was partaking in particular activities at night, you know, when I wasn't coon hunting. I was going to parties, and I was doing stupid stuff like young men do. I was in college. Well, the night before, I had gotten into a fight at a party, and this kid had done a number on me, and I had it coming. I probably deserved it. But he beat on me hard enough that every time I looked up, I would almost black out. And so I show up at this coon hunt the next day all black and blue, and I'm hunting Jane. Jeremy talks me into hunting Jane, and we draw out. And we turn loose, and Jane's 100 and 100 and a quarter on this tree. And Jane was pretty honest dog. She didn't make many mistakes. She's a pretty good coon dog. And she goes in, and she makes this tree, and I tree her. And this guy, I believe it was a black and tan he was hunting. This black and tan don't cover. He trails on out. And we go in there, and she's got this house cat. And we all see it walking in. And this thing's right above her in this little evergreen tree. There's this big black tomcat. And, I mean, he was probably, he wasn't over 6 or 6.5 foot tall. I know that. And I walked in there to leash Jane up, and they put their lights down, and I just reached up there and batted that cat out of that tree. And it went up into a great big maple, so they couldn't minus it. And so we started the shine time. And as soon as we start the shine time, they all turn their lights on in that spot where that cat was. There's no cat. And they shine and they shine and they shine. We had a non-hunting judge. And about 4 minutes into shine time, that guy goes, hey, where's that cat? I said, what cat? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I get that tree circled. We recut. Ends up, Jane trees two coons. This black dog trees two coons. And they were split all night. Nothing covered each other. These pretty good coon dogs. And but he had me on strike out of the pickup. Well, at the end of the cast, I get to cut Jane loose before he gets treed on his second coon. Jane gets treed with 30 seconds left to go in this hunt while we're shining his second coon, and I tree her. And so if she's got this coon, I win this cast. Well, I can't hardly look up. I mean, every time I look up, I feel like I'm going to die. And so we get in there, and she's in this brush, and a great big, huge tree. I know she's got a coon. Jane never missed. I ain't saying she never missed, but she rarely missed. And so the only way you can look at this tree is straight up from about the base of it to see it very good. And every time I look up, I'm seeing stars. And so I asked that old boy, and I said, hey, you want to help me shine this tree? I've done fell over twice trying to shine this tree. And I said, you want to shine this tree? He goes, you know what? I said, what? He goes, you shouldn't have knocked that cat out. He knew exactly what I'd done. He never put his light in that tree one time. And you know what? I had that coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the one time I cheated. So I went ahead and finished that story up. But what were we even talking about? Too many hunts.
Too many hunts.
And, but you don't want to, and I know they're not, it seems like they're not as important as they used to be, but you also don't want to take opportunity from somebody.
No, I agree with you. But I think if you limited it to maybe $2,500 hunts a month,
mm-hmm.
because right now they basically do a $6,500 entry fee hunt a quarter.
Yeah.
Which I think that's
about right.
Yeah,
that's about right. You don't want to add any more.
Correct. But now you're starting to add in, I mean, just like right now that you got that $4,000 hunt down in Tennessee right now.
Yeah, I don't even know. That's a bad thing, is now that, especially with pro sports coming on too.
Yeah, you don't, I mean, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree that I know it's a business. I'm a businessman. Roger Dale, love you to death, bud, but slow them down.
And
because it's going to burn them out sooner or later. Eventually, it's just going to happen.
But I don't know.
Nature of the beast.
It is, and it's tough. That's a tough decision to make. Because I've always been a proponent of more hunts, more hunts, more hunts. Because even if they don't fill, at least someone has an opportunity to buy that entry.
I understand, but when you can't fill them, there's no sense having them.
Well, that's true.
Because too. Are you going to book one here in Missouri and one in Oklahoma and one in Arkansas? What if they all fill?
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, then how are you going to be three places at one time?
Well, surely you wouldn't buy an entry to all three hunts at the same
what
time.
What I'm saying, though, is if it gets to the point where they're not filling and you well, want to go that. To one that weekend.
They've done that with the pro hunts.
What?
They got to where they weren't filling and they changed them.
They quit them.
No, they're back.
They're back. We've got one that fit. Did it fill with 64?
I don't think it quite had. I don't quote me. I don't think it quite had 64, but it was enough to have the hunt.
Right.
And that is a great format. It is. How they're doing it. I like how they're doing that now.
John Strickland, hate to admit it, but I think he came up with that one.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not give Strickland any more credit than we have to.
I know. He's already got too much credit.
We were also talking about, I think how I got into my one cheating story was when we was talking about weed.
Yeah.
And so greatest handlers of all time was our conversation at the end. And we led that with too many hunts. But we've bragged about Meltdown before and what he did.
Mm-hmm.
We've obviously bragged on Ruby and what she's done because that's amazing. And now, and I do agree that while Z is an amazing and congratulations for Dustin for being the all-time winner, it has taken away some of the prestige of being the all-time winner.
Yep.
The all-time money winner. A little bit with Ruby because what Down did was so impressive as far as pure cast wins. So why don't, I mean.
I think if you look back, Cracker, if you look back
at. Triple Creek Rat.
Triple Creek Rat. You know, you look at those dogs,
mm-hmm.
they won a lot.
Habit. Just imagine if Habit wouldn't have got run
Sunrise.
Over. Yeah.
I mean, you. There's a list of those dogs that aren't even on Hardwood Henry.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the list, there are some dogs that, I mean, once-in-a-lifetime dogs that are on there.
What'd Trader win?
$45,000.
Okay, so Trader won $45,000.
In PKC.
And I am a huge Trader fan. The reason we're friends is because Trader is the style of dog. It wasn't because me and you meshed right off the get-go.
No.
But Trader was the style of dog that I loved, and I loved. I didn't like Trader's looks like everybody else did, but yeah. I loved the way Trader operated. I loved his mouth. I loved everything else about him. I think he looked creepier in hell. But so Trader's one of my favorite dogs. Where's he even at on the list?
He ain't even, I mean, I don't even know if he's in top 100.
Yes. And because it only takes four big wins now to be better than a dog like Trader. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I understand where you're coming from.
Well, Shock's won more than he had.
But when you take, exactly. And you take, but also, I want to give dogs like Trader the credit they deserve and the dogs like Rat and Sunrise and all that stuff. You want to give them the credit they deserve, but I also don't want to take away from the fact that I can take, I'm hunting a young dog we call Three.
Mm-hmm.
We call her Meat Dog Three. She's 12 months old. She's going to make a pretty decent coon dog. I don't know if she's going to be what we want. She's treeing coons alone. She's pretty good about having coons and stuff. She's got a lot of good traits. This is a dog I probably won't keep. We probably won't keep her. And we might. We may. She may win $1 million before it's over with. But this was a $1,500 pup 5 years ago. Now she's an $8,000 or $9,000 pup.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take those hunts away, and if you take the ability for guys to win enough to make a living every week away, where's that go?
$1,500 dog.
Exactly. And so I'm hesitant to say, well, we got too many hunts because it's such a trickle-down effect. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I miss those days.
I mean, I don't.
I don't miss working my butt off to try to get a dog right and selling it for $1,500.
No, I'm not talking about dog sales because, mm-hmm. I mean, we usually don't sell them.
No, we don't.
I mean, honestly.
I did, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
But what I'm talking about is I miss those days when you'd go to the Lone Star and there'd be $150, $160 yeah. sitting there.
Yeah.
Those days I do miss. Only open event that I have continuously went to. Yeah. And Michigan Madness, it still draws great numbers. Don't get me wrong. But I just think those days of everybody getting together and having a good time at an open event, they're over.
Well, how can we remedy that and still keep these money hunts? Because the Lone Star 5000 is a perfect example of how we can do that.
Yes.
I mean, them guys go above and beyond, mm-hmm. and we've already talked about what they do for the hunters and what they do for the community and what they do for everything. They go above and beyond to where there's a hunt that's just not about the money.
Right.
You know, that's about the environment. Mm-hmm. It's about the people. It's about fellowship and things like that. And I've always said that Texas is, it's like it's its own country as far as, and I know Texans, they always think their own freaking country anyway, but it's like their own country as far as the coon hunting world goes.
Right.
You'll run into legends. There's legends of Texas, and there's legends of the rest of the coon hunting planet, you know? Yep. And, you know, a guy like Justin Caldwell, who's a great hunter, or a guy like Jason Klom, who's a great hunter, and win nationally. In Texas, I would rather draw Justin Caldwell in Texas than I would in Aurora, or I would Absolutely. In Salem, you know, because it's just, there's some kind of prestige about that.
Yeah.
And so maybe we can take notes off places like the Lone Star, and we're just as guilty of it as the next bunch.
Oh, absolutely.
As far as not putting enough effort into our local clubs mm-hmm. and things like that, you know. So I don't know. It's six of one, half and a dozen the other. I don't want to lose the opportunity, but I also don't want it to be watered down.
Absolutely. I just think the prestige of things has gone away.
It has to a point.
A platinum champion ain't a platinum champion no more.
No.
I mean, the days of winning $20,000, you can do it in a night now.
Yeah, a platinum champion at a $6,500 hunt is two cast wins.
Yeah.
Three cast wins.
But you can do it in a night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sort of thing has kind of went away. I mean, the prestige, UKC is another, I mean, if you, Grand Nights.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had to reamp their thing. I mean, it's just, there's so many hunts and they're, you know, they're, I don't know what the answer is. I wish I did know.
Yeah, I don't either.
But there's got to be a way to bring, I mean, because if you don't win a Super Stakes, a Nationals, a World Hunt,
mm-hmm.
now it seems like everybody's, you know, because everybody takes turns at these Pro Classics. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody gets their chance to be in the finals.
Yes.
Because you're hunting against basically the same group of dogs. There's other ones filtered in, but you're hunting against the same group of dogs, and it's just kind of a round robin.
It's the same 30 handlers.
Yes.
Same 30 handlers.
Yep.
And those same handlers know exactly what they got to have to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take us, you to just take us for example. We know where Rain has to go, where she's going to succeed. That's where we take her. And we succeed, and then sometimes we'll branch out like we did down at Lebanon, Kentucky, and we'll
which
get our
was not a good idea.
No, we'll get our butts kicked, and you'll run into that too.
And if John Strickland's listening to this, Lebanon, Kentucky, we got to do something about the fences.
Them fences are ridiculous. I
mean, you need side cutters.
They need, I don't, it's like someone come to a traveling salesman went through there and he's like, hey, I'll give you woven wire at half the price of barbed wire.
Everybody bought it.
Yes, and they strung it all over the place.
I don't even know how he hunts half time. As short as he is, them fences are taller than he is. It's amazing.
I got a feeling. Now, John guided me one night, and the spot looked great. That's the bad thing is they look great until you actually turn a dog loose.
Until you get in the woods.
Yes.
And then there's a woven wire fence about 30 feet in the woods.
It's not good.
Anyway, going back to that stuff, I just feel there's got to be a way that we can get the prestige back in our sport.
I think, first of all, we have to give more credit to cast wins instead of just money earned.
That might be a way to do it, actually. Yes. Just go by strict. I mean, that would be a if headache they, to figure out, yep. probably.
If they had a champion class of some kind that was just nothing about but cast wins.
Yeah.
You know, and UKC did that to a point where you had to have more cast wins to be a grand knight, more mm-hmm. cast wins than you had to be a knight champion, grand knight, etc. There were levels of grand knight. Where it took so many cast wins, and there's a Hall of Fame, which I think is 50. And so that helped them a little bit. PKC, I don't want to put any more extra stress on PKC's office ladies than Brandy and the ladies in the office than I want to or than I have to, but that would be something that would be
considered. I got a challenge for them, though.
What's that?
Here's my challenge to PKC.
If y'all could see Jed's serious face right now, you would crack up.
The all-time leaderboard.
Uh-huh.
No more money.
Okay.
Straight cast wins.
Well, they would have to start it now because I don't think you could ever figure it out from the historical point.
Oh, there's historical records. I'll bet they're knee-deep in there.
Yeah, knee-deep. Brandy, if you're listening, we need you to find out how many cast wins every dog in PKC history has.
Yeah, I definitely want to know what Silver Dollar Cracker had.
It was a bunch.
I mean, to win $100,000?
He had a lot of cast wins at $72.
No, them were $10 and $15 hunts, I think, back then, most of them. But anyway, I think that'd be a great way to do it.
Okay, so let's start doing that. You know, it don't have to be historical, but even start doing it now.
Yeah.
You know, say a guy, and if you just had champion classes for it, you know, a PKC champion now was 15 cast wins. You couldn't be a PKC champion if you won $30,000 unless you got 15 cast wins. That would give some kind of credibility to it.
That'd be interesting.
So Roger Dale, Shane Patton, all the guys at PKC, if you're listening.
Get on it.
Yeah, you know, we're calling you out.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to thank you
uh-huh.
for oh. running down to get Shine for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, should we make that announcement?
That's up to you.
I'm going to make the announcement.
All right.
How old's Trick?
Trick is 5.
Is she that old?
They have to be 5 because Rain and those guys are 6.
Huh. All right, so the very first litter out of National Champion, Stylish Trader, in 5 years will be born in?
December.
In December. Is she right showing yet?
Well, no, not quite yet. It's only yeah. been a couple weeks, but.
If we make this announcement and she don't show, we're going to be really embarrassed.
That's a possibility, but. Yeah. We had Gerard Kansas do it, Mesa Animal
Clinic.
They
are the best.
And they are phenomenal.
Shout out to Mesa Animal Clinic if you're going to AI a dog.
Yes.
They get it right all the time.
They have done.
And Gerard Kansas.
They have done a phenomenal job yeah. for us in the past. I mean, like Shorty, that was the last yep. one.
And would she have 8 or 9 pups?
14.
Or? Oh, that's right. She had a bunch.
And then some of them were born, still born. Yeah.
But that was Trick and Aaron's dog, Sin. And that litter. Yeah. Yep. And so I went and picked up Shine the other day.
Which is one of the last living females out of Tequila Sunrise.
I was getting ready to mention. That is a tequila directly off Tequila and Squeak.
Yes.
Directly off Tequila Sunrise and Schooner River Squeaky, who is directly off Bark.
Yep.
And one of the top reproducing females that I'm familiar with. That is Khan's mama. That yep. is Bella's mama. That is Dempsey's mama. So Shine is bred to Trader.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a litter of Trader by Shine puppies coming here pretty quick.
Because we really got sick of this watered down stuff we've been hunting here lately.
And there's another thing I want to touch on. As you know as well as I do, that I've never been a big fan of going backwards.
Nope.
Now, I was a proponent of this because the only reason I was a proponent of this is because we never bred Shine to Trader when they were both living.
No.
And that was always an idea and always something yep. we knew would work, but we just never did it.
Yep.
And now we got the opportunity to do it.
Well, it's just like last
time.
And
we were just talking about 3.
Yep. And that's
3 is out of Shine.
Yes.
And Meet Joe Black.
Yes.
That was Shine's last litter.
It was
Joe's last litter because he died in that unfortunate hunting accident down at Sean Woods right after he bred her.
Yeah.
Like he bred her that day and died that night.
Yes.
He fell out of a... We don't know if he fell out of a tree. We're guessing he fell out of a tree or something. He broke his spinal yeah. cord. And so, yeah, Shine and Trader. And I've never been a fan of going backwards, but I think this was one of the instances. Like when Con was what I wanted to be and knew what I wanted to be, we got rid of all the dud semen.
Yep.
We quit storing it because, and we're going to, you know, breed Con. So, I mean, yep. I've never been a fan of going backwards, but we did it this time. And I think it's going to work.
Well, it's either going to be a hoorah.
Yeah. Or whoops.
Yep. What a waste. Yep.
But yeah, that'd be the first litter of Trader pups in 5 years.
Yep. It'll be kind of nice to have some pups running around.
It will be because we're hunting pretty old dogs.
Yeah.
Con 6, Rain's 6.
And right now we're kind of getting to the point where we might be puppy poor here before long.
Yeah.
Because we got that Knot pup that's running around here. And then we got the Razor by Bailey pup.
Yep.
And then we'll have these Trader pups. Then you got we got the 12-month-old pup out of Shine and Joe.
Yep.
So, I mean, one of these days, Trader Inc. will be back.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you a chance to defend yourself.
What's that?
Did you hear the Big Country podcast?
Oh, Little Strictly. Oh, Trader, Trader, Trader. There's a reason you stick with what you know. I ain't like John Strickland, for one. And I love John Strickland to death. I do too. But John Strickland, he will buy, sell, or get anything off the street that he can get.
To win.
To win.
And you want to do it differently.
And I'm just a different person. There ain't nothing wrong with it. We're just on two. I want to make my line successful. Strickland don't care where it comes from.
No, he didn't even know what Heels was out of.
That doesn't shock me. I'm surprised he knew what country was out of. I'm guessing he researched that before the podcast.
He probably did. I don't think he ever mentioned country's dad.
Well, he probably don't know it.
Probably.
But
didn't.
I'm going to tell you right now, Strickland, he has an eye for a winner, buys them, continues to win.
Strickland has always been real sharp about what dogs he buys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really has. Yeah. And not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's bought a few duds, and I'm sure Strickland's bought some duds. But Strickland's good about buying a dog and sticking with it until he can't win with it no more, and then he'll get another one, and he's good about getting the next one.
But I will say one thing. What John Strickland did that was probably the dumbest thing he ever did in his entire life.
What's that?
Was put country away.
Yeah, you think so?
I wouldn't have ever bred that dog. I would have hunted him. Because that dog, when he was winning,
he was about unbelievable. He was unbelievable.
But
people don't understand.
No, I mean, unless you've seen him in a cast, and I hunted with the dog, I don't know how many times, but man, I never seen him look bad. I never seen him have an off night.
I don't want to ever hunt with him again.
But consistency, that's what I seen out of the dog. And you don't get that out of all these dogs that we're hunting now. We used to have it. We don't have it anymore.
I heard a rumor.
What's that?
I heard a rumor. And it was a good rumor. It was, I mean, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but I hear country's getting hunted pretty hard again.
Well, that's good.
I think country's.
I hope they do bring him back.
I hope they do, too. Because one thing I know about Ashley and John.
They ain't going to take him if he ain't ready.
They ain't going to take him if he ain't ready.
That's a fact.
And I think they're tired of some of the hate country's been getting.
Yeah.
And I think they may have. This country's been getting a lot of exercise lately. I'll just say that. And he may never see another cast, but if he shows up at some $5,000 to $6,500 entry hunt and they're auctioning that dog off, I'm going to buy him.
Yeah.
If he's in a Calcutta, I'm buying that dog because I know what that dog's capable of. And nobody else that hasn't hunted with him does. Yeah. They don't know. That dog will beat your brakes off, and there's nothing you can do about it if he's right.
Yep. But so. I will say one thing. Strickland, I respect what you said, but I'm coming for you. Just get ready. I will have something out of my line.
He said Jed Finley's traitor this, traitor that.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with it. I mean, I've never jumped off my own bandwagon just because we're getting beat. I mean, I like the Raiders, for God's sakes. When's the last time they've been good? I mean,
ain't like we're getting our brakes beat off of us.
Well,
you got just as far as Strickland did it this year's World Hunt.
I think I got further.
I think he may have got a cast farther.
Yeah.
And it ain't like me and Rain didn't win a few casts last year.
I know.
You but know?
The consistency of winning, we've been streaky.
Yeah.
We ain't as consistent as we were.
No, we're not. You're right. You're right. We'll hit a hot streak with a dog, and the dog will get cold for a while.
But I will say one thing.
What's that?
That's partially to do with me.
That's partially to do with you freaking mule deer hunting all the time.
I was just going to say, I've been doing a lot more stuff than just coon hunting.
I haven't been hunting as hard as I normally do either. I've been hunting as much as I can.
Yeah.
You know, but we're working. I got small kids. You got mule deer to kill.
Business to run. Good Lord.
And so our consistency is, and it's just as far as our effort goes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We're just as consistent as the effort we put out.
Yes.
That's right. I don't think it's a dog problem.
No, because if you look at it, when I took Rain and hunted her before you went to Memphis, you got in both nights.
Yep.
World hunt, I don't know what to say about that. Because she was looking good.
We hunted pretty hard coming into World Hunt. Right. Even I wasn't hunting as hard as you was because I was working and I had the kids.
But I was hunting.
And Jed was hunting 3, 4, 5, 6 nights a week. And that dog, and I remember telling you 3 or 4 times, I was like, this is the best chance we've ever had of winning a World Hunt. And that was that's not counting Trader and Whitey and Con when he was good and Duds when we took him out there and he was hot and Bella and all these dogs where we thought we'd be, well, if we just got in the final four, we'd be happier. If we got in, we'd be happy. Like, I was shocked when I didn't get in on Monday. Yeah. You know, I thought we were, but it just goes to show you how hard it is to win out there. Me and Zane talked about that too. It was a hard, hard to win out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, Jed, any closing thoughts? We've been at this for quite a while.
We might have to cut some of this out. But again, congratulations on the new job.
Thank you.
Joy Dog Food, I know they're going to, they've really stepped up the plate. I know they've helped out with a lot of youth hunts and, you know, donating to some of the littler stuff.
And I want to just say, and Jed, you've known me as long as anybody. I don't just go jump on a bandwagon because they pay me, because I've never cared if I made a dime or if I didn't make a dime or whatever.
That is a fact.
Money's never done nothing for me.
Yep.
But Joy, and I'm going to give them a little plug here. We went.
Well, you should, because you're working for
them. That's true. But no, I shouldn't, because this is completely separate from them, even though they are a sponsor of the podcast and stuff like that. This ain't why I'm doing it. But I went out there with Chip Kozier this week. Or last week, and we went to every small town, salt of the earth, feed store, and stuff like that. And we were talking to these people that sell Joy Dog Food, and these are customers of ours, these are dealers of ours. And they're really trying to bring the people that made them successful in the first place back. And nobody's doing that anymore.
Nope.
Everybody's selling to Tractor Supply and Orchlands and Walmart and things like that. And Joy's took a different route. And I don't want to just do this and people think that I'm a company man, because that's not it. I've got to meet so many great people these last week. You know, these are small town feed store owners in South Missouri and Oklahoma and Kansas and even up here around the house. And man, these are people that just love their business. They love America. They love working dogs, and they love pet owners, and they love farmers, and these are just small country stores that we all grew up in. I mean, 90% of the people I hang out with bought their first pocket knife at a store just like this. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's who Joy supports, and Joy supports us as far as our sport goes, and they're doing so much in it. Youth hunts, small clubs, things like that. And then they're not only doing that, but they're supporting these small businesses, and I just think it's important. I'm excited and proud to work for them. Yeah. I really am. I mean, I'm just completely proud. So thanks to Wade and Chip and all these guys that brought me in, because it's been fantastic.
Yep. I think it'll be, from their motto, there's a lot of people that could, including kennel clubs, that could take a look at their model of business.
Okay. Hold on. You went something there. I know we were going to close this up, but now I got to dig a little deeper and, as Chris Powell would say, I'm going to peel the layers off his onion a little bit. And I talked about this with Chip. And we mentioned Roger Dale earlier. I love Roger Dale. Mm-hmm. Roger Dale, thank you for the Dunkin' Donuts coffee at the World Hunt.
About time you stepped up.
Roger Dale bought me good coffee so I would call out the cast at the World Hunt. He did. That's all I asked for, and he delivered, and it was fantastic. I drank a lot of it. But Alan and Trevor, them guys are great at UKC, and they're great for the sport. Roger Dale and Shane and all the guys at PKC and the ladies in the office, Brandy and them, they're great too. But I feel like you feel that they could do more. I think that's where you were going with that.
And it's being put on members to do the more,
right,
not the actual company.
And it's being put on sponsors, which sponsors are great.
Yeah.
Kudos to Joy for helping PKC. Mm-hmm. Kudos to Joy for helping UKC and for AKC Beagles, yep, and UKC. I don't want them to stop, yep, doing that. But when it comes to fighting animal rights groups like the HSUS, yes, or when it comes to supporting local clubs, or when it comes to supporting the members that are paying the entry fees,
youth hunters,
and when it comes to supporting youth hunters, I think they could step up and do a little more, and I think most, yep, of the hunters think the same way.
Yeah,
and it's not that we're not grateful for everything they've done, because, yep, we are. I mean, if it wasn't for the Professional Kennel Club, I wouldn't be able to go to La Plata,
yeah,
and win that money next, absolutely, weekend or 2 weekends from now or whenever it is. I don't even know when it is. That's how ready our dogs are. Yeah. But I think you're right. I think they could maybe step up a little bit. And as far as the state law level, as far, mm-hmm, as, you know, maybe a little bit of campaigning for certain things. I, yeah, mean, maybe a little fundage, maybe a little just whatever.
Remember where you came from.
Yes, and support the sport.
Because that's what Joy's doing.
Yes. And yeah, kudos to Joy for bringing back and supporting the people that made them in the first place.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about.
That's what Chip and Wade both said to me, is we're not going to remember or forget who brought us here, who, yep, got us here, you know. So.
And that's one thing I think if we, you know, and I hate to say it, but PKC's gotten to the point where it's us members doing these youth hunts.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I love to do it. I mean, because I remember when I was a kid,
yeah,
I wish I had this stuff. But I think it's time for, you know, as an organization, put up or shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, because you and I and Yant and Freiberger, Roger Dale, we're not around forever.
No, we're not going to be around forever.
So you got to get back to your roots on that sort of stuff and get, you know, a new line of people in, a new, you know, and do it as an organization, not as individual people out, you know, as members.
And I was sitting at the motel, one of our, I don't know how many motels I stayed at last week. It was a bunch. It's wild on the road. It's fun. I love it. It was great. And I love it. But it was, half the time I'd be asking Chip, and Chip wouldn't even be like, I said, what town are we in? He's like, I don't know.
How many miles did you put on?
I put 1,900 miles on my truck this week.
Wow.
Yeah. And worth every penny. But we were at the motel, and Chip had a lot of the old ads and a lot of old pictures, historical stuff from Joy.
Yeah.
And it was, his grandfather started it. His dad owned it. I mean, and they were, people don't remember how big of a part of UKC and PKC they were back then. But they had a youth hunt. I believe it was the PKC Youth World Championship. And they had bought every single kid a wick coat. And they'd done a lot of stuff for the kids, Joy did. And looking back at that, I mean, they used to buy the truck.
Yes.
For the truck hunt.
Yep.
The entries didn't buy it.
See, that was back when the truck, you didn't have to pay to hunt at the truck hunt.
No, exactly. Now you got to pay a $250 entry fee. After you spend $10,000 trying to get a freaking truck ticket. But anyway, I mean, it was just, and this is part of our discussion, kind of the theme of this podcast has been, you know, getting back to where we are and what we were, what made us, you know, mm-hmm, what we are today. And Joy's doing a great job of that. And I think we could all, not just PKC, but me and Jed Finley and Trader Inc. and all the members and all the Coon Clubs and the UKC and the whatever, ACHA, if they're still a freaking thing or whatever.
I mean,
pro sport.
Anybody with a business.
Yes.
I mean, really, to be honest with you, anybody with a business.
Yeah.
You know, remember where you started.
Yeah. And I've got a lot of that this week, and it's really opened my eyes to a lot of things. But yeah, I think you're right. I think everybody could do more.
That's why we went back to Trader and Shine.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have went to Squeak where it all started, but she done passed away. So I'm going to the next thing. Let's go back to where it all started and see what happens.
Yeah. You know, good point, Jed.
Yeah.
I don't say that very often to you. Usually I'm just arguing with you and saying you're dumb, and you're saying I'm nearsighted, but whatever. Yeah.
But that was my whole point of going to this cross is because I'm going back to where I started. You know, I started this out with Trader by Squeak.
You did.
And now I'm going back to the closest thing to her as I could get.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens that it has one of my other favorite dogs
in it. I still think you need to open some of these Trader males up to the public.
I tell you what, I'll be a Kurt Herring. You go show up with $1,000, by God, we'll do her.
Because Shock's going to reproduce.
Boy, I don't know. I haven't seen much out of him.
Well, you got Tammy, and you got King, and you got that female Yance, and you got...
We got two crosses.
Well, I know you've only bred two or three females to it. Give the dog a break.
I think we got four.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Maybe three or four.
But you look at Shock, Ralph, Bones.
I just don't like to deal with the public, though.
I know you don't, but you're going to have to bite the bullet and get some pups on the ground.
Hey, Josh is going to be on the road with Joy Dog Food. Look him up. He can breed your dog while he's on the road.
I'm not toting Shock barking around in my freaking dog box all week long.
Put him in the back seat. He'll be great.
Oh, no. He ain't getting in the back seat of that new Chevy. I can promise you that, son. All right. Jed, thanks for joining me.
Yep. Thank you.
It was a wonderful podcast. I think we touched on a lot of things that we're going to expand on.
Yeah.
And also, I want to talk about what we got coming up. This was actually going to be, I was going to get Cheyenne and Jennifer and Dalton Cummings all on the podcast this week, but I was so far away from them by the time I got done last week, and they were busy. Friday when I was coming home, so I'm going to get with them on Monday. I got to go down there and do some stuff for work, so I'm gonna talk to them and get them on the podcast too. And also we have a veterinarian. Did you listen to the thyroid podcast?
All I got to say is the thyroid is real.
Me and Jed are going to argue just like me and Zane did. But we found a veterinarian.
Great.
Yeah. His name's Garrett. He's from Virginia. I'm going to try to. Actually, I'm sitting here looking on my phone right now. I remembered his first name. I did not remember his last name. I've spoken to him. Great guy, houndsman. He's hunting a dog off Wipeout Slim right now.
Well, he would be a great one to talk to.
Yep. I believe he'd be a great one to talk to.
Maybe he can figure out all my problems in my dogs.
Dr. Bailey. The man's name is Dr. Garrett Bailey. He's from Virginia. He's a houndsman. He's dealt with thyroid issues before. He's got some experience there. So he's agreed to be on the podcast. He's going to get a hold of me this week. We are going to get Cheyenne and Jennifer Cummings. Of course, they're in Dalton. They're famous for Redneck Mafia and for several dogs. Cheyenne's been around for a long time. Them guys are great guys too, so we're gonna get them on there. So we got some really good stuff coming up for the truth, and we just hope everybody stays tuned and enjoys what we got coming. But yeah, I think this went well.
I just hope you get old Barry Kitty on here
one Barry days. Kitty's gonna, I'll tell you, Guy Manning's gonna be on here too, whether he likes it or not. Guy Manning is a living, there's not many ex-NBA African-American coon hunters.
Nope,
there's not. Nope. I'm pretty sure Guy's the only one. And Guy is also a Texas legend.
Yep.
He's awesome. Oh, my gosh, he's so fun to hunt with. He's just fun to visit with. Guy's just fun to hang out with. Yep. No matter what you're doing or where you're at, Guy's great. In Texas,
we might have to have a podcast with Kevin.
Kevin's getting on here. Yeah. When we're at camp, we're doing a podcast from camp.
Yeah.
Because I want
Kevin.
You may not want Kevin on here because Kevin's going to tell Jed Finley stories.
Hey, Jed Finley stories from Texas. I can tell you right now, I'll precurse this one. and say, one night I got a little wild on a cast, and we had a police escort back to the clubhouse.
Because if people don't know, Kevin is the Leon County Sheriff.
Yes.
And the fact that he hangs out with a convict like you, it's a miracle he still got that job.
Hey, I'm the reason he's got the job.
Kevin's awesome. Man, one of my best friends on the planet, and I know he's one of yours, too. He's great.
Yes, sir.
Whole family's great.
Yep.
Yeah, Kevin and Karen and the girls, man, they're awesome down there. I love it. I'm looking forward to getting down there.
They treat you like family.
They do, and you really feel like family. I feel when I walk into camp, it feels like I'm walking in my front door.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's not a feeling you get everywhere else.
That is pretty much my front door.
That is. Jed spends about all winter down there. I'm getting pretty close.
Yeah.
I'm getting pretty close to being down there all winter. So, all right, we're going to shut her down.
Well, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, Jed, thanks for joining us. And one thing about it. If I need some good content, Jed's only 45 minutes away. We went over, we brought the kids, we ate some supper, we had a great time, we got this recorded, so that was good. But Jed, thanks for joining me.
Yep, thank you, and we'll see y'all next time.
All right, this is The Truth on the Houndsman XP Podcast Network. This is Josh Michaela signing off. Thanks for listening.